Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, January the 24th, 2016.
It is a joy to have you with us here this morning, and it's a joy to have Tori and Liam to help me lead you guys in worship this morning. So I'm going to ask you to stand. Ephesians 5 tells us to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Sing with us.
Before his throne rejoice, praise his grace.
And not be thankful for most of all for who you are. You are greater and stronger than any other. And so we praise you for that this morning. May our lives reflect that fact that you are the greatest. You are awesome, and we thank you and praise you. It is well. It is well.
wondrous day. Behold our God. Behold our God. Seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Adore him. Behold our God. Seated
there's those kind of days in worship, and this being one of those when the worship is just so powerful that you kind of hesitate to even get up and speak because the message has already been so clear. But it's also a lot of times in those days that I think our hearts are most prepared to hear God's word. So let's pray as we enter into a time in his word. Father, I pray that we are able today to behold you, to behold our God. As we've been able to sing to you in worship, I pray as we talk about what it means to gather, and part of that being to worship, that we would learn more about worship, that we would be challenged more in how we worship and all of the things that we do to gather. And today, as we talk about what it means to gather to worship you and to care and to be in fellowship with one another, God, I pray that it would be your truth that is heard above and beyond anything else. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We're talking about gathering, and it's interesting talking about gathering. As I mentioned, we're getting into this Gather, Grow, Go series. But we talk about gather right here after we've had, you know, some snow coming around, and there were, thankfully, the reports were much worse than what actually happened over the weekend. But it's these kind of weekends when you kind of expect, okay, there's not going to be a lot of folks around, and that's a little scary. January, you know, offerings are typically lower in January, this not being an exception, so you're like, oh my goodness, we got bills to pay here, people. But thankfully, people have showed up, and not only have people showed up here, the weather has actually been really beneficial for us. I think this is the first time I've ever preached and had a preacher and a music director from other churches show up on Sunday. They closed services, I guess, in Dalton and then up in Cleveland at what I call our North Campus of Grace. So we have the coats here today. It's a lot of fun, but really good to have them here today to be able to gather with us. If you think back to November, we did this kind of introduction to our mission of Gather, Grow, Go. And I gave kind of a quick introduction, really quick introduction to each of those pieces of that mission and rolled out some of the building projects, which you can kind of see on the wall back there as you step out of this room, that are there to enhance each area of that mission. And I realized that I spoke at lightning speed, and I know that it was hard for some people to keep up. And for others of you, it was perfect. That was just the pace that you need every Sunday. But I did tell you, too, that even if you missed some things that morning, we were going to cover some more of this in detail, in more detail at least, in January. Welcome to January, and this series should actually run through February as well, but I do have to warn you, and I'm going to do something in this series that goes against every fiber in my being and my very nature, one of the toughest things for me to ever do. We're going to do this out of order. I got a good, all right. This is hard, okay? We're going to do gather and then go and then grow. For some of you, you're like, okay, who cares? But that's tough for people like me, all right? But the reason for that in particular is I want to use February 7th as part of a time to train for the time that we're going to be gathering that evening, so many different people around the community with others for the Super Bowl. As we are in those get-togethers, we want to talk and have you guys prepared for those times. But what we're going to talk about that day in particular, how you engage people in conversation in, you know, in the Super Bowl gatherings. It's not just that you can only talk about the gospel on Super Bowl Sunday. This is the kind of stuff that applies to all of life, to everyday life, as well as it does on that day. And it's going to be one of our, I told you we're going to have some unique services in this series. That's going to be one of them. We are going to, or at least planning to, interview our GO pastor, Mike Swanson. Should be a lot of fun. I'm not saying interview like we're interviewing him for the job. That would be a little overboard since he's already got the job for one thing. But it can, I know from experience, it can be intimidating being in front of a bunch of people in this room answering questions. But really just to kind of see what his vision is himself for the ministry and just some ideas as we talk about how to engage people in our community and how we go. But as we talk about gather and now it's gather, go, and grow for this order, it's not really like it's out of order. There isn't a specific order to gather, grow, go. It's just a way that it seems to flow well when you say it. It doesn't really matter. As we talked about the logo back in November, one of the things I told you is that this logo kind of represents the process of gather, grow, go. And what you'll notice up there is it's designed intentionally not to have any kind of specific order. If you look here, you got kind of your colors for gather and for grow and for go, and they all touch to each color next to it, and you can kind of flow from one to the other. There is no set process. We all grow in different ways. We engage in the church in different ways, so it's possible that somebody, it could be very common for a person to realize, you know what, I have been out of the church for a while, and I need to get back with the Lord, and so it would be natural for them to show up in this kind of big gathering where they can just kind of blend in and be able to worship and hear God's word. Or maybe it's somebody who's never been in the church before, but they say, you know what, my life is falling apart, and my parents told me or my neighbor told me that this is where I can find some healing. And so they show up in a place like this. But for others, it may be that they show up in a grow kind of activity or program that we do that they might say, okay, I know I need something, or my neighbor maybe invited me to their small group, and I'm not really ready to step into this big church building that everyone's going to, but I'll go to somebody's house and we'll talk about the Bible there, or maybe they enter through kind of a mentoring relationship. And then there's others that may enter into the community through a GO event where we've gone out and we've somehow reached them as we've gone out into the community. Or maybe it's somebody who doesn't know the Lord, but just for different reasons, they want to go and to serve others. They join us in going and serving others. And as they do that, they realize there's truth to this gospel, and that's where they enter. And so we can move in any kind of different direction. It doesn't have to be just gather, grow, and go. But today we are starting with gather. And I want to look in a little more detail into what that word means to our mission, our vision, our strategy, our process, which is all wrapped up in gather, grow, go. Because it's really hard to hit a target if you don't know what that target looks like. So I'm hoping this is going to help you to understand a little bit more, as well as just kind of what is Fred doing? What is Fred's job as our gather pastor? And Fred, maybe you can learn a little bit more about the expect. Now, I've shared most of this with him already. I may add some things today. We'll kind of see how it goes as we kind of get toward the end. So hopefully that'll help us. But in some ways, gather, it's pretty easy to talk about. And for many, it's the most common part of church. This is what you do every Sunday. And when you think about church, you tend to think about this kind of this big gathering that we all come together, this big service where we all gather. And it's the part that most people take part in. On any given Sunday, there's going to be more people in this room during this hour than there were here for any of our grow opportunities, like your Sunday school classes. And that's just how it normally goes. This is typically what people think of when they come to take part in church. And the action itself, gathering together, it's not all that difficult, right? I mean, for some, you might just think all you have to do is show up and you've accomplished this gather thing. But in these 2 weeks, I want to challenge how you think about gather, how you think about gathering, as well as how we do gatherings. Because it is about more than just getting together, and it's about more even than just worship. As we gather together, we're talking about church body life, and that often comes with all kinds of opinions and habits and all kinds of things, some of those that may need to be broken. So I just ask that as we come to God's word together, that we'd come with our hearts and our minds open to what he has to say, and a willingness even to change how we think and live to become grace in the way that we gather. Because we are commanded to gather together for regular worship services and other times of fellowship. You look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, just the first part of it. It says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. And we looked at that verse in our church membership series, and I'm pretty sure this isn't going to be the last time we look at it. That's one of those things that applies and just kind of helps us to come together. And I realize that I am mostly preaching to the choir here. You know, you're here, right? So at least at this point in your life, you have not today forsaken the assembling of yourselves together. Good job. You got it. But there's always somebody, or at least almost always someone in the crowd who needs to hear this message. Maybe there's a preacher or a music director who skipped church at their own places to show up here, and they just need to hear this message again. But whether it's your first time in church in a long time, or maybe you've been coming every Sunday and you're just kind of growing a little weary and wondering if you really need to keep doing this, and maybe just need a little bit of spiritual renewal, it's a lot harder to find that renewal in everything else that is provided as we gather together. It's harder to find that outside of this gathering. You see, God doesn't just make commands for the sake of having rules. He's not this miserly God that just says, oh, here's a rule, do this, and let's see if you can keep up with this. These are not arbitrary things. God created us. He knows us. He knows how he designed us. He knows what's best for us. And he wants what's truly best for us because he loves us. That's why he gave us the Bible. We pick up this thing and we talk about this. He gave us this to show us who he is, as well as how he created us, what he created us for, how we're designed to live and to enjoy him. And that's why we have someone get up here as part of our gathering and talk about this book, to talk about how he designed us, to preach. We gather together for regular worship services and other times of fellowship to experience God through one another and through proclamation of his word. If you back up just a little bit in that Hebrews chapter 10 passage, go to verse 23. And it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And a big part of my job as your pastor is to keep that confession fresh on your minds, on my mind, and on our hearts, and to challenge and to teach us all to stick with that confession, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just the what to do part. I don't come to the word and just open it up and say, okay, do this. This is what the Bible says, go do it. But it's also the how part. It's why we spend time on application, and we have the grow questions at the end of each of the messages usually, and often kind of a challenge to go out and to actually do it, just a way to say, here's a thing you can do this week to actually make some life change. It's why we have through the week that Pastor Kelly is usually writing those week in and week out, so that you have every day something to come to help remind you of what God's word says and to go and to live it. But beyond the benefits, just like gathering together is commanded, preaching is commanded too. As we saw in our Acts study this past summer, in chapter 2, verse 42, just the first part there, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Receiving God's word was a big part of the earliest Christian gathering, and it's something that we're continuing to do today, that we're supposed to continue with. And that's along with fellowship and with meals and with prayer, and we'll get to those things in a little bit. But Paul made it very clear as well, as he spoke to his ministry protege, Timothy. He made it very clear that ministers, not just Timothy, but all ministers throughout time, that we are called to preach. He says, preach the word. 1 Timothy 4:2, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Paul couldn't have said it much stronger than what he did there. He says, we're called to preach whether the people seem ready to hear it or not. Whether the people are ready to receive the word of God or not, we're called to preach it. That's why I spend time at the beginning of the message to try to help you understand, to kind of draw people into the word, because I know that not all people, while I'm sure most of you out here, we know that God's word is important and we need to study it, not all people understand that. They don't know why this is an important thing, so we spend time intentionally talking about that. And it's also why I try to kind of steer clear of a lot of the kind of rah-rah messages that just kind of get us riled up and excited about things that we know we all agree on anyway. There is a place for those things, and there's a time that, you know, we need to be encouraged in those ways when we need those kind of messages. But preachers are called to patiently show how we, not just myself, but all of us, how we may be living in wrong ways, and then to point to what's right. And not just to call out sin, but to teach people how to change, and then show them why they even need to change. And the patience part, patiently waiting for people to change, and patiently and just kind of sticking to the Word of God and bringing it week in and week out, that can sometimes be the hardest part. Because I always want to see, and I think this is the same with a lot of preachers, I always want to see immediate results. My goal and kind of my hope every Sunday is that we'll come in, we'll open up God's Word and teach it, and then every person in here is going to walk out doing everything that we talked about that day. It doesn't normally happen, or at least it rarely ever works out that way. So I really wouldn't mind your prayers in that regard, that I would remain patient in teaching, that we, and myself included, I come in here, I spend all week teaching, or kind of preparing to teach these messages, and the Lord's working on my heart, and I don't always change right away in regard to everything that I say, yet I expect all of you to. So could use some prayer in that, patience for myself, and then for all of us as we let the Spirit work on us. But as important as preaching is, by no means is that the most important or the only part of gathering. We gather together for regular worship services and other times of fellowship to experience God through one another, through the proclamation of His Word, as well as through shared worship. We gather together to celebrate our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Savior, who is our triune God. And as we talked about back in November, gather, this portion of our mission in general is related to, not only, but it's primarily related to the first person of the Trinity, and that is God the Father. He is the divine fountainhead from which all things flow. And we praise Him for all that He does in and through us. So during our gatherings, we praise Him for who He is, for how He's led us to grow and how He's used us to go throughout the week and beyond, even just the previous week. And see, there's a difference between worship and praise. And we worship Him for who He is and for what He's done. We praise Him for those things as well. Next week, as we mentioned in Grace on the Go, the staff has put together a video, or is almost completed, that's all about praise. And we're going to show that next week. And it's something a little bit different to convey that message, but honestly, I'm really expecting it to be a very powerful week, and I would love to have all of you there and just let others know what's coming up. It should be something, I think, pretty special. But we don't just worship because circumstances are good and we're thanking God for those things. Sometimes we worship in spite of our circumstances. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We talked about that a few weeks ago, and we talked about worshiping in difficult circumstance in that Advent series that we did kind of around the Christmas season a few weeks ago. We're told that worshiping in all things, in all circumstances, is God's will for us. That will that we ask about all the time, "God, what is your will for me?" We're asking about these very specific things when God says His will is that we would worship Him in the good times and in the bad. That's His will. And we do that when we gather, as well as on our own. And even if we've never experienced, if there is such a person that has never experienced good circumstances, we praise God simply for who He is and for what He's done. Because no matter how difficult your life may be, Jesus Christ still died to save you, to save all of us. And that compassion that we see in Him being willing to die and to rise again to save us, that shows us it's an outflow of His character, so that we know He is worthy of praise for His character, for who He is. Because worship, praise, those things are never supposed to be about us. While you may be worshiping in response to and praising God in response to something He's done in your life, it's never about you. Just Him. So we forget about our preferences and what we like, and we put God first and then others. And I'm not saying that preferences don't matter. I think people may hear that sometimes, but I've never said that. Preferences aren't the driver for our praise and our worship. I mean, if we can only worship God when it suits us, when we like it, is that really worship? And I do understand there are some songs and styles and traditions and all these things that kind of bring out more emotions and they connect with us more than others. And it's like that for everyone. I believe that God created us to have those kinds of emotions and emotional connections. But how much more joyful of a noise is it to God when we put aside what we want and we just worship from the will? Because He deserves it, not because we like it. And the fun thing, we call it fun, when we say these kind of things is that there's people in every kind of preference that think, oh, he's talking directly to me. I'm not thinking about anyone in particular. We all have this tendency just to want things our way, but we worship God because he deserves it, not because we just like it. So I'm so thankful for Pastor Fred because he does a great job of bringing together different generations and of music and different styles of music. But the thing is, he can't do that all alone. I mean, there's such a great team of people that come together in here every week, and the choir and the band and the orchestra and all these other pieces. I mean, our AV team that all come together. And I know that Fred, too, we're talking about this fairly often, he could use more talented people, not people who are more talented than what we already have. That's not what I'm saying. They're all wonderful. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to get myself in trouble today. All right, but more of them. That's what I'm saying. More of those talented people just to come in and use the gifts that the Lord has given them in praise and worship. And that includes those things that we just haven't seen yet. You may think, oh, well, they don't want me up on stage using whatever this talent or gift is that the Lord has given me because I don't see anyone like it. No, that just means we don't know that you exist yet. And we would love to have others involved. And that's one of Fred's big things, is that he wants to have as many people as possible involved in the worship leading experience. And if the Lord has possibly gifted you musically or in helping with our audio-visual kinds of things, don't hold back. Let Fred know. And you can also use that plug-in card that's in your bulletin on the back of the information card. Write it on there. Let us know that's something you want to do, because we all together, not just on stage, but all of us together enhance worship, making a beautiful song to the Lord. And it's a joy, especially today, to hear this congregation worship so passionately every Sunday. But gather is about more than preaching and worship. We gather together for regular worship services and other times of fellowship to experience God through one another, through the proclamation of His Word, through shared worship, and through community. In Hebrews 10:24, that same passage says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." Really enjoy seeing people every Sunday here just kind of stick around after the service. You know, we say, grace, it's time to go. And we're not saying, get out of here. We're saying, go and do what it is the Lord has called us to do. And one of those things we go and do, we have fellowship with each other. And so we see that happening every Sunday as people kind of stick around. And there's just kind of this real sense of community here. Because it seems like we actually really enjoy each other. And that's a really good thing. And really sadly, that's not the case everywhere. But it's more than just fun to be around each other. It builds us up. It's more than just enjoying it, but actually being encouraged. It encourages us by knowing that there are people who care about us and people who are watching out for us. Being together builds trusting relationships so that we can spur one another on to love and good deeds, good works. It doesn't always happen naturally, though, right? Sometimes being together doesn't produce those things. I mean, life gets in the way. Even coming together in community doesn't always happen naturally because of those things that just come up in life. We get busy and we forget to have fellowship outside of our gatherings on Sunday morning. So part of gather, here's what we do is gather, grow, and go. Part of gather, we provide some of those opportunities for you. And one way that we do that is through our events, things like the baseball game, the Lookouts game that we did back at Labor Day, and the 4th of July picnic last summer and that we do every summer. And there's a go aspect to that one as well. But, I mean, the meals that we have before our gather reports, we're going to have chili tonight. That's part of gathering and fellowshipping together. The celebrations that we're going to do during the gather report, celebrating how people have led the church to gather, to grow, and to go. That's a part of our gathering and encouraging one another. It happens when we get together after, you know, special events like the Christmas musical and we just go have some food together. And yes, as a church, there's probably going to be food involved in a lot of this. It was the same way in the Bible, and that's great. We see it as a part of our Sunday school classes and our grace groups. Even though those things are focused more on grow, there's fellowship that happens there. Community is happening there. We experience gather when our classes and groups get together outside of those times, and you have some fellowship times, the Christmas parties that you have, and you get togethers for all kinds of different things. All of these things and more, they help us to build community together. But gather isn't just about our own community. We welcome others into this gathering, into gather through hospitality. And yes, hospitality, that relates to go, because it's drawing other people in, it's going out to other people. But we want to be open and welcoming to other people who come, because gather isn't just about our members here. We welcome all who are willing to come and to gather with us as visiting believers and those who are looking for a place to gather regularly. But it's also those people who don't yet know the Lord. And the way that we show hospitality to them, that can make a huge impact. From the moment that people drive onto the parking lot, we want them to feel welcomed, like they're actually wanted here. We want them to feel at ease and to feel at home. It means that we have to make it really easy to find their way around, and that's going to mean things like needing signage in the parking lot and inside the building, and we need people who are going to be around to kind of direct where to go, because you feel more at home. I mean, most of you know the way around your home, right? How long did it take you to figure out your way around this place? I know some of y'all have been here through the decades and seen the thing expand time after time, which is a great blessing of the Lord, but it can be tough to get around, and so we need to work on that. Now, the signage part, that takes just time and some money to get those things together, but we also need more parking attendants and greeters and other people to host our information tables to make sure, in our information areas, to make sure that people know how to get around and know what's going on. And all of us, we need to be working together to keep our facilities looking nice. If you have somebody come into your house, what do you usually do? Probably start cleaning up a little bit, right? Most people do. That's kind of the norm. But we want the things to look nice around here so that people can feel more comfortable. Those are all areas where we can all plug in. We can plug in and help out in those ways, but there's also some of you out here who are really gifted in hospitality, in showing other people that they're welcome and that they're wanted here. So we would love for you to plug in those areas. And again, you can see Fred, talk to him, and you can use that plug-in card that's in your bulletin. And I'm going to be really disappointed if we don't get a bunch of those little plug-in cards turned in today in the offering plate. That's one reason that we have the offering at the end, so that it's easier to respond to the message. And thankfully, it's really been working. We've gotten more prayer requests and plug-in requests and visitor information than we ever had before we move that to the end. But events and hospitality, those things do. They bring us together and build community. It helps us to keep together, to stay together, to draw others in. But it doesn't end there either. We gather together for regular worship services and other times of fellowship to experience God through one another, through the proclamation of His Word, through shared worship, through community, as well as through care, as we care for one another. Hebrews 10:25, going on there, the second half of that verse says, "But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." That comes right at the end of that part that said, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together." We do that so that we can encourage one another all the more as the day of the Lord draws near. And there are loads of passages in the Bible about caring for each other. Perhaps chief among them is the second greatest commandment that we find in Matthew 22, 39, and 40. It says, the second is like it, the second greatest command. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, love your neighbor as yourself, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. prophets. We are called, not just called, we are commanded to actively love one another. Not just an affection for each other, but to actively go out and to seek the best for one another, to do good to and for one another, even when it's hard. We care for one another just like your body cares for parts of it that need healing. We work together to heal any ailing member. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And as we've said before, this year we've been faced with a lot of loss here recently, and I've gotten to see this church come together to care for the hurting people, and it is beautiful. Tonight we're going to celebrate some folks, just one couple out of our Gather, Grow, and Go, but in the Gather celebration, we're going to celebrate a couple who exemplify this, who go out and care for others so well when they're hurting, and a lot of people that they've really touched through doing that. It's great that this church recognizes that it isn't just the pastors and the deacons who care, even though we love to do it and it's a part of our job and it's a joy, but we as a body seem to truly care for one another. But we can always improve, right? I mean, there's always more that we can do. One thing I'd love to have is prayer teams here that are ready to pray with people at the end of the service. Right now we've got several of our staff and wives that are kind of up here ready to pray and to counsel with people up here and then kind of on the corners of the balcony. But I'd love to have folks who are, you know, especially when we get the cafe done out there, that Missions Cafe, just to go and sit and talk with people and pray with them there or up here. Just teams that are ready to do those kinds of things, to go and to care and to pray with them. So all you prayer warriors out there, mark that on the plug-in card. Put that in the plate if that's something you're interested in as well. Now last summer, as we talk about care, last summer in our Acts series as well, we saw the advent of deacons. And that was Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables.'" We've got to be about the word, preaching the word, bringing that, teaching you. We can't do the serving over here. "Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the spirit and wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." This statement found approval with the whole congregation. They got together, kind of voted on that. Skipping ahead of the names there in verse 6, it says, "And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them." The deacons were selected to care for the widows so that the apostles could focus on spiritual leadership. And today we still have deacons, even though their roles have evolved in some ways. Because churches have grown a whole lot more complex now. There's a lot more expectations. There's different ways that we reach people now than there were back in Acts. And deacons, they step in to fill a lot of those roles. But they're still called to care. That primary thing that they were founded for is still there. It's a major focus for our deacons at this church this year. And every deacon that was selected that you're going to be able to vote on at the Gather Report tonight, every one of them was selected knowing that that was going to be our focus, caring for the congregation. And for most of them, if not all of them, that's actually what drew them in. And if they're voted in next week, we're going to lay hands on them to welcome them in as deacons in this church. We've got several other deacons who have been working really hard to kind of take the whole congregation and divide it up geographically, or at least mainly geographically, between all of our active deacons. And mainly kind of splitting up geographically so we kind of have an area where we know this deacon is kind of taking care of people in this area. They're going to be a great first call when you have need of prayer or you just need someone, some kind of helping hand. They're going to be there when you go to the hospital, or they're going to find someone who can be there. They're going to work to make sure that you know that you are loved and that you are welcomed here and that you're missed when you're gone. Very honestly, especially if you're not a part of a Sunday school class with an auditorium this size, as much as I kind of look around, I never know, and most people here never know who's here week in and week out. Somebody could miss for several weeks and we may not notice if you're not a part of a different kind of a fellowship. And that's one of those things that our deacons are going to be doing, is just kind of looking around and saying, "Hey, are my people here? I want to let them know that they are missed when they're gone, that we value our people." I just ask that you give us a little bit of time to get this all set up and train each other, get the system working and those kind of things. But in the meantime, very thankfully, we do have our Sunday schools and our grace groups that are already caring for people very well. But even that can be enhanced. I mean, it can be really overwhelming as a task for one person if you kind of put all of the teaching and the care and the events all on one person, one Sunday school teacher, to teach the class, to facilitate the group, and be in charge of care. That's a lot. So we're going to be recruiting people from each class at every one of our grace groups to be a gather leader. And that's going to be someone or even several people who are going to head up the care for that group and that class. They're going to work on the gatherings and the hospitality for that group as well. It takes a lot of a load off of the leaders who are already there, but it also gives people another chance to serve in their areas of gifting. It also helps to ensure that everyone here is well cared for. And if that's something that you are gifted in or you have some kind of desire to do, again, fill out that plug-in card, drop that in the offering plate at the end so we know that we can plug you into those areas. And one of the difficult but necessary parts of gather that sometimes we don't talk about a lot is discipline. See, God commands us to discipline church members who are straying from the faith. And here's one person I want to bring to mind right now. No, I'm not going to do that. That would be terrible. Now I kind of want to know, I'm a little curious, like how many people thought, oh, he's about to talk about me. No. 2 Thessalonians 3:6, and then we'll skip up to verses 14 and 15. It says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, and not according to the tradition which you received from us." Skipping ahead to verse 14. "If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. Yet," and this is important, vastly important, "do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." What was going on here in this book of 2 Thessalonians is somebody has come in and has started kind of leading the Thessalonian church astray. Paul had written 1 Thessalonians, talked about the day of the Lord coming, trying to be an encouraging thing, and then a person or several people kind of came in with this teaching saying, well, the day of the Lord is already here, has already come, and so Paul's writing to correct that. Well, in a response to that teaching, some people thought, okay, well, the day of the Lord is here, we're going to be gone soon, so I'm just going to quit my job. And so these people quit working and basically just started to mooch off of everybody else. So much so that it was causing a distraction. Other people are trying to work and they've got these people up here begging from them all the time. People in the church, and that's what's happening. It says they're just unwilling to do anything. There's others that are unruly of different kinds, but that's who Paul is talking about. And so he's saying we can't be associated with these kinds of things. He even goes on to the point to say, listen, if they're not willing to work, let them not eat. Don't give to the folks who are unwilling to work. He's not talking about truly needy people, but the ones who are unwilling to work. You see, a similar command to discipline the church and even disassociate from them if it's necessary in 1 Corinthians 5. And it's not saying when we disassociate from somebody in the church because of discipline that we treat them poorly. But we also can't show any kind of hint, even the slightest hint of approving of the ways that they're sinning or being associated with that sin somehow, because we as the church are called to, as individuals and as an entire congregation, to be above reproach. So those things that somebody may be doing, we can't associate with them in a way that makes especially people outside, but also us inside, to lead people astray and make them think, okay, the church is okay with those things. We're called to be holy and to be set apart. And that's where discipline comes in. The goal is not to shun somebody. We don't start treating people in a mean way because they've sinned in some kind of way. This is also not something we do individually. Yes, I mean, individually we have the responsibility to follow through if discipline gets to the point that somebody is disassociated from the membership. But we don't just go and say, well, I don't like the sin you're doing over here, so I'm just not going to talk to you anymore. There's a process for this, and we as a church are committed to following that process. We're protecting the sanctity of the church, and we're committed here to draw people back in, not to shun somebody to push them away, but to draw them back into the congregation. When we do discipline, it's not simply there's a shame part. We want them to be ashamed of the sin, but we want them to receive grace. so that they want to come back in and be drawn back into living for the Lord and into the gathering. And we're committed to doing this here if it becomes necessary and when it becomes necessary. And I hope we never have to, because it means that someone is in sin. And not, this is not like, okay, somebody has sinned in this one time in this one way. We're not talking about every little thing that happens. But it's a tough thing to do. It's very difficult. That's why I have Fred now as the gather pastor, so he can handle that kind of stuff. So, is that all right, Fred? This is great. No. Of course, I mean, as a senior pastor and with deacons, we work on these things together. But if we have to do it, though, we're also committed to doing this in a very biblical way. That it's not just a thing where gossip starts and where we immediately just come up and say, oh, like I kind of joked about doing here a few minutes ago, that we're going to just come up and say, well, I'm going to call this person out right now. Now, there is a process where you go to the person, you take that sin to the person to make sure it's actually happened. And then if they're unwilling to, and there's so many opportunities for repentance, and if they're unwilling to repent, you go back with a witness. And even then, you go before the leaders of the church before you'd ever get to this point. So hopefully this never happens. But if it does, we'll do what we're called to do. But always with grace, so that we can all grow in grace, and we can become grace even more, even in the really difficult things that we're called to do as a church. So that's a slightly more detailed glimpse into what gather is all about. But how are you doing with gathering? Do a self-checkup. Are you committed to gather? And then maybe here or maybe somewhere else. I get that, especially with snow and things, that there are people here that are visiting all the time. You may have a church somewhere else. I am certainly not saying that this is the one you have to be committed to. But are you committed to gather? And it might seem like a weird question since I'm talking to people who are gathered here, but I don't know who might be here for the first time in a long time, or maybe the first time ever. And that commitment to gather, it goes beyond just showing up. Do you truly engage in worship? Next week, a lot of the staff are going to be talking about praise in particular in a lot more detail. But we need to know, and we need to wait, we don't need to wait until then to worship. And worship is more than praise, as we'll learn next week. But do you come to our gatherings prepared to offer worship to God in spirit and in truth, not just when you enjoy it or when you feel like it? And do you actively care for others? And then that could be here, or that may be at your home church, wherever that might be. But that includes being willing to allow others to care for you when necessary. One of the things that we have in that plug-in info card is a section that you can write in things that you need prayer for. Part of the gathering is trusting other people in this room with your needs. And I'm not saying that every need that you put out there is going to be necessarily brought before the whole church, but if you want it to, we can. Because we want to care for each other. And so when we have those burdens that we just can't bear, we bring those to the church. It's part of the reason that we, every time we take communion, the Lord's table, that we have a benevolence offering so that we have the funding necessary to go and take care of people in our congregation who are in need. Sometimes it's going to mean, though, caring for others is going to mean personal sacrifice. It could be that it means going out of your way. I had a guy from the church who probably wouldn't want me to call his name out, so I won't, who, you know, we had a part go out on our refrigerator. I had no idea what was going on with the thing, and he came right over to help out with it. All I did was say, hey, do you know a good guy? And he just showed up himself and did it. It was wonderful. These are just areas where we come and we care for each other in whatever way that we can. And it takes time away from our own personal time sometimes. It may mean that it takes a financial gift, too. When you find out, you know what, somebody in my Sunday school class or my small group or just someone else in the congregation, they're in need, and I want to help to meet that need that they can't meet on their own. My sister going through all of her things with cancer, her church, as well as other parts of the community, they came through because their insurance didn't cover cancer. And the insurance has picked up some of it, thankfully, but they had so much of their church come through to help them through that time. And those things help draw people back into the church. So I've got a challenge for you for this week related to gathering. Every day this week, I know, every day, that's tough, right? I'm a little worried about that myself, forgetting this some of these days. But every day, I want you to write down one reason to worship the Lord. And it may be something that has to do with his character. It could be some kind of blessing that he's given you. It could be a lesson that he's teaching you through his word or even through difficult circumstances. But write down just one reason, at least. If you want to write down more, go for it. But a reason to worship the Lord every day this week. And ask the Holy Spirit to show you any area of ministry that we talked about today or another one where you might need to step in. We gather to worship because of what Jesus Christ did to save us and because God is worthy. And we're going to be up here. As I mentioned, several of us come up here every Sunday and in the corners of the balcony. We are here to talk to you about that, to talk to you about this Savior and tell you more about how he saved us and how you can find that salvation. And if you want to take that next step, we're here to talk to you. Let's pray. We will sing, and that's your time to come to fill out your response card and let us know how you want to plug in. Father, I am thankful to be a part of the gathering, that we get to gather here and worship you and praise you, but beyond that, that we come together to love one another and care for one another, to be in community and just to enjoy one another and to enjoy you together. So I pray that today you would call each of us. I know you've called us. I pray that your Spirit would work in each of us to help us to gather better, to be committed to gather, and to grow in it as well. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and
to give. This is kind of, as we talk about gather, this is kind of the culmination of gather that we're coming to now. It's the culmination in a lot of ways of our worship time. But then worship doesn't just, it doesn't stop when we stop singing or at the end of the message. This, as we give, this is part of our time to respond in worship, in giving, and in committing to life change. And visitors, all we're asking from you at this time is that info card so we can say thanks for coming and we can get some information to you about the church. But there's others too that maybe you just, you weren't up for coming to talk to someone just yet, but you want to understand why we gather to worship God, why it is that he is worthy of worship, why we want to care for one another, and just mark that on the response card. It can, there's check boxes on there for you, and put your contact info and we'll get in touch with you this week. Let me pray for us and we'll take the offering today. Father, we come to you today to give. And then we understand this is a part of the gathering as we contribute to the work that you've got, but also as we just give of ourselves in worship, recognizing that the finances that we have, that even our own lives day in and day out, these are all gifts from you, things that belong to you. And so we're just giving back that portion. God, I pray that we would do that as an act of worship, not as a law or a rule or even a tradition, but God, just because we love you and we want to worship you, to give to you, even when it's a sacrifice. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Talk about worship today, about gather. Worship continues as we walk out of these doors. We worship in the way that we live, in the way that our lives are changed by what the Lord teaches us here and in our own personal time with Him every day. We worship in how we interact with other people and how we worship God individually in everything that we do. And even though we aren't gathered together at those times, we're still committed, even as we walk out of these doors, to this gathering, to one another. And with that grace, it's time to go.